in areas, offices, and spaces. So, how do we receive God's anointing? How are we able to move in our anointing? We do this by abiding in the Lord. We do this by being rooted in the Word of God, by being rooted in His Spirit, not allowing the ways of life to push us to and fro. We must have continual obedience to God. We must allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We must allow ourselves to be subdued unto God, to be submissive unto God, that we can do what God tells us to do. Some of us may be unsure of our anointing or how we are to work in our anointing or in what capacity God has placed an anointing upon us. But if we just take the time to ask God, He will reveal it to us in the name of Jesus. There's one man in the Bible that we can see was anointed. And he went through these phases of losing his anointing and gaining it back. And that man was Samson.
Amen.
Glory to God. The Bible records in Judges 16 that Samson lost his anointing. And we have to realize that Samson was anointed from the very birth. He was consecrated and he was given unto God from his very birth, that not a razor shall come upon his head. Samson was anointed to be judge and to deliver Israel from the Philistines. God anointed Samson with supernatural strength. See, the strength was his gifting. And that is where God poured out his anointing upon his strength. And that strength was manifested through his hair. His anointing was manifest through his hair in the natural realm. And we see that as the enemy was plotting against Samson, the same way the enemy is plotting against you. You see, your anointing is a threat to the enemy. Your anointing is what's gonna set the captives free. Your anointing is what will break the bonds of evil. Your anointing is what's going to destroy the yoke. Your anointing is a threat to the enemy. And we see that in verse 5, when the Philistines came to Samson's wife to conspire up against him to see what is it that makes Samson so strong. The enemy is going to plot to destroy your anointing and will use people in your own life, your family, your friends. They will use your spouses, your children to do the evil works up against you. The enemy knows that your anointing is powerful.
Yes.
The enemy knew in the very beginning that your anointing is powerful. Even from before, when Samson was killing off these Philistines and destroying these Philistines and doing all these things for the kingdom of heaven, before the Philistines even knew where his anointing lied, they knew that he was anointed. They didn't know how he got it. They didn't know where it was. That's why they had to conspire with his wife to find out where his anointing was, because they knew if they found out where his anointing was, then they knew how to destroy him. They knew how to kill him off. They knew how to make him disappear and how he could not be a threat any longer to the evil and the works of evil that they were doing. The enemy is out seeking to find out where your anointing lies. And the enemy is coming. The Bible says he comes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that is what the enemy is doing in this time and in this hour. The enemy is seeking who in the body of Christ is leaving themselves open and vulnerable, that they may find out the anointing that is upon your life and where that anointing lies. You see, the anointing lied in Samson's hair, but it could be different in your situation. Your anointing could lie in your hands. Your anointing could lie in your mouth. Your anointing could lie in your clothes. The anointing could lie in so many different ways. You see, we cannot fathom what God can do in our lives. The Bible says that God will use the foolish thing to confound the wise. That's why we need to be tuned into the Spirit of God. We need to be tuned into what God has for us. The enemy is after one thing, to destroy you,
yes,
to
yes.
take you out. And the anointing, if he takes that from us, it will destroy us. May not be physically, but it definitely will spiritually. The enemy will come in different ways for the very same thing. We see here in the book of Judges in 16, where Delilah came four different times to ask Samson where his anointing lied, where his strength lied, what is his secret to his strength. Four times she came and asked him. Three times Samson had his guard up. But as she kept hammering him, as she kept beating into him, as she kept nagging him, he let his guard down. He became vulnerable. He allowed himself to be weak. And that is how she came. And that is how he gave the secret up about where his anointing lied.
My God.
See, the Bible says the very moment that he gave up the secret, he was lying in Delilah's lap. Glory to God. He found himself in a vulnerable state. He found himself blinded by love. He found himself blinded by his marriage, by lust, by sex. He found himself blinded by the enemy that he became vulnerable. You see, just because we find people in our lives that are close to us, doesn't mean you can always be vulnerable with them. Doesn't mean you can have your guard down with them. We must discern in the spirit who is for us and who is against us. But Samson found himself in this predicament from the very beginning when he went against God's will and said, you know what, I'm going to marry this Philistine woman because that's what I want.
Come on.
It was out of the will of God. You see, Samson only got himself in this mess because he was out of the will of God to begin with. He walked in disobedience, and that caused him to lose his anointing. But anyway, the very moment that his hair was cut was the very moment that he lost his anointing. The Bible says, in verse 19, that God left him. God left him. It says, after they cut his hair and he woke up, he said, you know, I will just break myself free like I have so many times before. But what Samson didn't realize that God had left him. His anointing left him. What kept him thus far, what gave him the ability to be supernaturally strong, had left him. He lost his anointing. He could not operate in the same way that he could before. You see, the giftings are without repentance, as we see in Romans 11:29. But if you don't have the anointing to accompany your gifting and your calling, it is useless.
Come on.
You see, we have pastors and preachers in the church who may have been called or have the gifting to preach, but they don't have the anointing upon their life, which just makes them a glorified motivational speaker. We have people who may speak in other tongues, but because they do not have the anointing, they're just speaking in gibberish language. They're speaking in Babel the same way that God caused the people in Babel to become confused in the language. We see people in the church today that may be singing, but they're not anointed to sing. So in other words, they have no power in order to cast out devils with their singing. They have no power to heal or to deliver or to bring out people out of the bondage that they are in with their praise and their worship. Their praise is powerless. Their worship is powerless. People praying, they have the gift to be a mighty prayer warrior, but because the anointing is not accompanying them, they have no power. They can't move God. They can't move things in the spirit realm because they have no anointing. Where is your anointing in your gifting and your calling? We can be gifted in many things, but we do not have the anointing of God. Other words, if God had not given us permission to operate in such a way, you have no power, because God is not backing you up in what you are doing. Samson lost his anointing. But in the very next verse, in verse 22, the Bible says, but Samson's hair began to grow again. What does this mean? He lost his investment initially. Because he gave up his secret and became vulnerable to the enemy, he lost his anointing and was not able to operate in that same capacity. But God allowed his anointing to come back. You see, you may be lost in what you are doing. You may feel like the gifting that God has given you is not working. But I pray right now that God begin to reveal to you that you can receive the anointing of God again upon that gifting, that God can still back you up in your giftings. But how did Samson get his anointing back? He repented.
Come on.
The Bible says in verse 28 and 30 that Samson said, oh, sovereign Lord, be with me one more time that I may be able to punish the Philistines that gouged out mine two eyes. You see, he lost more than his anointing when he became vulnerable to the enemy. He lost his eyesight. He lost the ability to be able to discern. He lost more when he lost his anointing. Because the anointing carries so much more than just what God is backing you up on. In the name of Jesus. So what the premise, the whole thing of what God was getting out in this word that he gave me is we need to protect our anointing. The actual title of this, the message I gave to glory to God was, don't touch my hair. We cannot allow people to put their hands in our hair. We cannot allow people to know our secrets and to know what makes us vulnerable. We cannot allow people to know exactly how we are anointed and in the capacity of how we are anointed. We can allow people to know where our anointing lies. Don't let people touch your hair. We need to be careful of those people who are around us. We need to be careful of the people who are in our circle. The enemy is after our anointing. And it is our job, our duty to protect our anointing and our calling. Once again, not for ourselves, but for other people. Glory to God. Sin, condemnation, doubt, disobedience, rebellion, and pride, all things that you can do in your life to take away your anointing. Don't subdue your gifts and your anointing to the enemy. Do not forsake your anointing, for people's lives are literally on the line because of your anointing. In the name of Jesus. I just want to close with this thing. Early this morning when I was sleeping, I was awakened because of this spirit that came in an ugly form, had no face. His hands were nubs. His body was pale, older figure. The only thing he had on his face was a mouth. And he began to hold down my hands as I was staring up at it, and it was looking back at me. And he began to open his mouth and began to suck out began to draw from me. I didn't realize or didn't get the revelation early until when I woke this morning that it was the anointing he was trying to pull from me because of the word I was about to give later in the day. We need to protect our anointing even in the night season.
Yes.
At all times. So I encourage you on today, realize who you are in God. Realize that your anointing is not for yourself and that we cannot let our guards down to the enemy. God be with you on this day. Keep yourself protected. Keep yourself prayed up in God. In Jesus' name, God bless you on this afternoon.
Praise the Lord. What an awesome word by Minister Levante Pope. Amen, amen. We thank God for that great word. We love you, body of Christ, and remember that today is another day of miracles. God bless you.
Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
There's a river I want to swim in. There's a river I want to live in. It's the
It's that time again, and we are glad to be right here with you for Living a Good Life this morning. No, it's this afternoon, isn't it, Maya? It is this afternoon. Let me get your mics on, everybody. Nan and Maya, James will be here shortly. What a day we have had. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, now in our 13th year, every single Sunday right here on TantalkNetwork.com. Always so glad to be with every one of you as you join us, and or if you're listening at a later time to this show, we are glad that you are with us. And we've got Maya and her husband James going to be joining us here in just a moment. Nan's kind of been around for a while. She's not new to this little situation here, are you, Nan?
Not at all.
Not at all. All right. I want to know, Nan, did we have church today?
Boy, oh boy, did we have church today.
We did, right?
It was awesome.
We did have a powerful service.
You know, we come on the show every Sunday that I'm on the show or that I'm in the studio many times, and we always say, we had a great day today. And it's like, and we do. It's like every Sunday, the Lord just moves in different, interesting kind of ways. And so people may go, but you say that every Sunday. Well, it's because it happens.
It happens every Sunday. You know what? You are so right, because I love what Minister Levante was talking about just a few minutes ago. The anointing of God, it's all about that anointing, Maya, is it not? And hang on, if you can't hear out of an ear, Maya, try a different set of earphones, okay?
Wait.
And we're trying to get things working. Okay, then just take those off, set them aside, because there is a pair that's not working correctly. All right, so we'll get Maya back in here a minute. We are trying to get all set up in the studio. Did you know that you can listen to this show every week live on YouTube? I've started it. It's running. Go to YouTube, Tan Talk Network, and you will see live. You'll see Nan and Maya in the studio right now. Or you can also, since it is being recorded, you can also go back another day and listen on YouTube. Go to TanTalkNetwork.com on YouTube, and you will look for the name of this show, which is Living the Good Life, and you will be able, it's got a date on it. I've already put the date on it, 10/13/19. And you can go there and hear this show, see it again, actually. So now, there we go, Nan. And Maya, you got two ears working?
I got two ears working now.
Yes. That reminds me of that Mickey Mouse song we were singing earlier, right? M-I-C, the ears, you know? Yeah. Okay. Just inside joke. What did we do today after church, Maya? You want to tell the congregation why we would have something funny to laugh about?
We sang some karaoke.
We did karaoke church and ate pizza.
Yeah.
We do crazy things at Beacon of Hope. Now, we had an anointed, amazing service. So it was after the service and after we had gobbled down some pizza that we had some fun karaoke. Not bad stuff, just really good people singing. I didn't know we had so much amazing talent. I knew we had you, but that person sitting beside you to your left, Maya, what is her name in here?
Nan?
Yes, Nan. Mm-hmm. I know her name. I'm just giving you a hard time.
That's okay.
Yeah, Nan. What did you do? You sang today, didn't you?
I sang today.
And she danced.
Whoops.
She did.
I danced.
But it was not like David dancing before the Lord.
No.
It was not. It was Nan just being silly.
It was tasteful.
And she she danced romantically with a few of the guys. Not romantically, that's not the right word.
I grabbed a few of the guys.
You just grabbed their hands and they danced with you. So
she performed.
She performed and it was fun, yes.
It was a lot
of
fun.
So we had a lot of fun today. And you know, for those of you out there that don't have a home church and you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come to Beacon of Hope and check us out. Because we have fun every single week. We have anointed services and then we have a great time. Talk, Nan.
You know, I was thinking, I can remember back in the old days. No, the people would say, you know.
The old days.
Not the old days. It'd be the old days of my life at other churches.
You can remember Cor back there?
I work real hard at remembering.
Maya, that's, I'm trying to do your work about age. Go ahead.
Good one.
Yeah, I'm 58, so whatever. Okay. Or 59, something. I keep forgetting. Anyways, you know, people say, you know, why go to church? You don't have fun.
Oh,
you know, and we have a lot of fun, and I do some things with people outside of church and out church activities.
Friendships.
You know, I have friendships, and I'm gonna be really honest with you. The really people who are my friends are my church family. I have a few out there who are kind of like friends, you know, and we talk on the phone, but I don't get to do anything with them. But I get together and do stuff with my family at church.
Oh, and they're such great. I mean, I love today. It was so great. I mean, we had such a variety of songs from Santa Baby to all kinds of stuff. I mean, great, great songs today and a lot of fun. And there's James coming into the studio, and we'll get him hooked up right here in just a moment with headphones. And James sang today. Maya, we all know you have a beautiful voice, and God has blessed you with this great voice. It was kind of fun today, though, having almost, not everybody, but a lot of people singing.
It was a good mix-up.
It was, wasn't it? It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Interested. All right, so Nan's getting James all set up there.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to let you guys get set up for a minute, and we are going to go to the first song, and it's a cool song. Haven't played this one for a while. God of the City.
Thank you. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. The greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no
plans. That's what he wants to do. He wants to really do miracles and change our circumstances. Nan, God gave you a poem during that song, right? Whoa, let me get you on here. Let's get and James on all of you. Okay, go ahead. All your mics are hot now. Go ahead.
I'm going to cry during this one. I don't want to do that. You're my Lord, who is always with me. Thanks for being there. To my heart, I hold you dear. Please use me to shine to them. I want them to see you and me. Give me opportunity to share that they too can be set free. I will let my light shine to them that they too can be free. Let them see my light. Let them see you and me.
Amen.
You know, and I was writing it. It just, that's what it's all about.
It is what it's all about.
You know, we're going to be talking about Job and, yeah. and things that he's gone through. But this is, at the end of the day, this is what it's all
sure.
about.
Sure.
And I'm just proclaiming that right now, that people listening to the show,
right.
can I pray right now? I just really feel I need
Go
to pray
ahead.
Right now.
Pray.
Father, we just bind together right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You know who's listening to this now.
Yes.
You know who's watching this now. You know who's listening to this later. Father, I pray the anointing will be on this
Amen.
Show as
Amen.
It always is, but in a supernatural, strong
Praise
way.
God, yes.
That people will come to a saving knowledge of you in their lives.
Yes.
They will reach out to you. They will accept Jesus as their Savior.
Yes.
They will walk on in that strength that you give them.
Amen.
Father, we're just instruments here.
Yes.
We're just instruments. We're conduits of your words.
Amen.
And Father,
Amen.
I just pray, God, that people would just be so blessed.
Yes.
If there's people downhearted, Father, they'll be blessed. They'll be lifted
yes,
up.
Praise
the
God.
Stories that we share of Job and his dedication, that they will learn from that, Father. And we
yes.
praise your name in Jesus. Amen. Sorry.
No, don't apologize. Praise God. That's right on. Right on. Yes. And you mentioned in that poem, Set Free, and that's the title of the series we're in. And you know, people out there in Radio Land, it's all about getting set free from everything that binds us, holds us hostage, mm-hmm. keeps us from mm-hmm. becoming everything God wants us to be. And we're going to talk about Job. Yes, we're going to talk about the work of the devil in people's lives. And we're going to talk about the work of God and what he wants to do in each of our lives. So welcome, Maya and James, Mr. and Mrs. What a joy. They've been a part of the ministry for quite some time now. And actually, James dates back too many years ago in the ministry. We're back in the mid-2000s.
2004.
There you go. So it's good to have you both with us and part of the radio team now and excited about what you have to offer. And you both sang, well, all three of you sang amazingly today.
Thank you.
Nan, James, Maya. It was great. I mean great. And a wonderful time of fellowship. And we all need that, those times of fellowship and making memories together as a family. And I started to say earlier, anybody out there that doesn't have a home church and you're in the Clearwater, Tampa Bay area, come and join us. We'd love to meet you. 2058 Weaver Park Drive. I'll give that to you again if you'd like to write it down. 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. It is right off of Hercules between Drew and Sunset Point. Not too hard to find. So, James, it's exciting to be in this series on Set Free because I believe that the work of the devil and his tricks and his schemes have to be exposed. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, where to start with that one? My birthday was this week.
Yes, and happy birthday, James.
In 46 years, the devil's tried to tear me down. He's done some amazing things that I myself could not have got up
by amazing
from.
We're talking horrible.
Yes,
right.
And but you know, God was there with me through
yes.
every step,
yes,
every breath I took, mm-hmm. every hard breath I had to take, every easy breath I had to take, every time I got knocked down. I used to think it was me that got me back up.
Right.
I really did. I really was that arrogant and that prideful that
right.
And what I didn't understand is no, that was God instilled in me. That was Jesus
right.
instilled in me as a child,
right?
To give me that strength.
And Amen.
I didn't understand that. And
right.
I'm starting to understand that through you, through Pastor Jim, through Nan, you know, through my wife, which has been amazing to my story right now. She is.
She is.
Yeah,
she's dynamite.
Amazing. Oh my gosh.
She's dynamite.
But yeah, Satan's schemes.
Satan does, he does scheme and he does
yeah.
plot. You know, in 1 Peter 5, starting with about verse 8, it says, the devil prowls around. I'm just going to quote it instead of us going there. But it's a great passage for people. You can write this down and look at it later. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 11, it says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He is not the Lion of
He's
Judah.
He's not the lion.
That's Jesus.
Like
a roaring lion.
Imitation.
It's an imitation. He's always a false imitation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, right?
And if we give him that power,
that's
he can
exactly
be.
Right.
He can he can be that devouring lion if we give him that power.
Well, I said we weren't going there, but we are. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. because you know what? There's dynamite in those few verses right there. You will find 1 Peter right after James, the book of James, after Hebrews, back in the New Testament. And I'm in the Amplified Bible where I've been living lately. 1 Peter 5, verse... let's see. Let's start with verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. James, that's really what you just were talking about, that you thought you were the one that would get yourself all up in a better place, right?
Well, my wife will tell you, 5 years ago, I was arrogant. Okay. Very, very, very arrogant. I thought I was the man.
Right.
And about 5 years ago, God put me on my back.
Right.
He showed me. He says, you're not the man. Watch this. What? For the next 3 months, I lived in darkness in my home.
Wow.
You know, I had some medical issues that happened. And God said, watch this.
Yeah.
You ain't all that.
Right.
And it took a year. It took a year for...
You were very, very ill for a while.
Literally a year. I don't think I was knocking on death's door. But when you're enclosed in your home and you have to live in total blackout...
Right.
And by total blackout, I mean I had to wrap shirts around my head to keep light out.
Wow.
And God said, look, you're nothing.
Wow.
I created you. Woo. I can do that. I can allow this to happen. I can allow that to happen.
And it's God allowing it.
Oh, yes,
it's
ma'am.
Not God doing it
yes.
to us.
And that was,
God
that
allows
was the,
it.
That was the misunderstanding I had
right.
at the time.
Yeah.
And as you point out in Job.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Satan had no power.
Right.
He went to God and says, see, you got your hand on him.
Right.
Take your hand off of him. Let me play with him a little bit.
Right. Let me mess with them.
And God gave him that little bit of authority to deal with that. Satan had none.
He didn't. And it's so incredible, though, that we have this behind-the-scenes look in the book of Job so we can see this.
Yeah.
Let's look at verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5, if you're just now joining us. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. Now, people out there in Radio Land, you got to have some of those. Because everybody does. Some anxieties, some worries, some concerns. Casting them once and for all on him, Jesus. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. That'll preach.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a decision we do. We cast that. You want to comment on that, James?
Well, I'm enjoying listening.
All right. Okay. And it's so important that we understand that those cares and anxieties and worries and illnesses... financial problems, whatever,
fears,
those things are not from God.
No, ma'am.
Not from God. We're going to prove that to you today with Scripture. So get a pen and a paper because we're going to prove it to you right now. If this was from God, God wouldn't say to get rid of these things. Mm-mm. He would not say cast all your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him, God. And he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. If those were gifts from God, worry, anxiety, fear, loneliness, hatred, jealousy, I could go on and on. If those things were gifts from God, he would not tell you to get rid of them, right?
Amen.
Right? Okay, so let's look at verse 8. Be well balanced. I'm in 1 Peter 5, 8. Temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. Why are we supposed to be cautious at all times? Again, I'm loving reading this in the Amplified Bible lately. For the enemy of yours, the devil. That's what it says right there. Why are we cautious? Because the devil roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Talk to us, Maya. Why should we be concerned about the devil? And why? This is not God devouring us.
Mm-mm. You had mentioned a couple times ago about how the devil just—he hates us.
He hates us.
He doesn't. He's not our friend. He doesn't like us. He hates us. He really mm-hmm. is out there to destroy us.
He is
in any way that he can.
Right.
With our thoughts, with our act, any way that he can, he's going to destroy us.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
Yeah, that's his goal. Mm-hmm. Nan, talk to us.
It's sad to see people allow him to do that.
Oh, yeah.
To destroy them. And I think sometimes people get so caught up in their circumstances of their lives that maybe they're not identifying that that is Satan trying to cause upheaval in their lives, that he is causing that upheaval in their lives that they're dealing with. It came from him, and sometimes people don't realize it. And I'll go as far as to say sometimes people don't want to realize it because they like to hang on to that kind of stuff so they can share it with all 150 of their friends.
Exactly.
As a prayer request. I need you. Nothing about wrong prayer. Let me preface that. We need to pray about situations in our lives.
Sure.
If someone's coming in, we need to pray about situations. Right. But those people who just go off on the deep end with, you know, 200 people in their lives, they need to get settled. They need to settle in their mind that they, the Satan that is roaring around, trying to devour them,
try to devour them,
that they will recognize that and reach out to God and Christians who are around them, their pastor, their elders in their church, whatever, to pray and to pray. And then, but you gotta want to get rid of it.
Well, and I do believe a lot of people hang on to things for attention. Do you know what I'm talking about, everybody? I mean, that happens. That's just part of life. People do. Yeah. And so that what you're saying, Nan, is that when we begin to realize this thing is not good for me, this worry I'm carrying around, this anxiety I'm living in, this poverty that's consuming me, this whatever it might be, if it's not good for me, we got to realize that doesn't come from God.
There's something in my study Bible, if I could read just 2 lines.
Go ahead, you can.
Carrying your worries, stresses, and daily struggles by yourself shows that you have not trusted God fully with your life.
Whoa. So we carry those because we can. We carry them because it gives us something to talk about, right? We carry them because we're used to them. You know, talk to us, Maya. We can get in a rut with this kind of stuff, right? Talk to us.
Oh, yeah. You can't. You really can't. One of my verses that I've taken so heart to life is the one that you had kind of a little quoted. You know, God is not the author of fear.
Right.
He's
2 Timothy 1:7. Yes.
And I find myself every day quoting that in my head.
Right.
Because my mind is a horrible thing sometimes. And I have to quote it. This is not of God. He's not the author of fear and doubt and worry and unworthiness.
Yes,
and
whatever
nonsense I have going on in that second. That's not of him. So I'm constantly rebuke and resist. I can't take that on.
Okay, Maya, what about the people who say, well, I think God puts that on me, worries and anxieties. There are people out there that believe that nonsense. Believe me.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not of God. Because God is peace and love and a sound mind, and he's our comforter, and you have to literally rebuke and resist.
Rebuke and resist.
It's so easy to get down that path. It's safe. Honestly, some people think it's even safer just to dwell in that because they're already there.
Yeah, and so it's common. It's mm-hmm. common for them. Go ahead, James.
I would even go a step further, and I'm going to say this out of personal experience. We carry pride in our scars and those emotions and those mm-hmm. feelings. We carry pride in them because if we didn't,
oh, look
we
at
wouldn't
this.
Share
look what happened to me. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
And I can say that from personal experience. I was one of those people for a long time. And now, when I share my story with people, I make sure they understand that it's not out of pride.
Right.
I have no pride and no scars anymore.
Right. Right.
You know, God brought me through that.
Boy, that's a good point.
You know, God brought me through that. I share it as a testimony instead of a loss.
Right.
Because it's not a loss.
Absolutely.
You know, my childhood, as bad as it was, wasn't a loss. It was growing. It was God making me who he was and just...
Well, let's
without that part, I'm not who I am today.
Well, let's apply Romans 8:28 to your growing up, because a lot of people can relate to an abusive childhood. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things
yes, ma'am.
To work together yes, ma'am. For good
Yes, ma'am.
Right? To those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
And the reason, and I'm starting to understand this in the last 2 weeks, is what I went through as a child taught me to recognize other children that are going through that.
Wow.
And I'm mentoring a kid right now that didn't go through the same thing, but he's kind of in a tough situation.
Okay.
So, you know, for the people out there listening, remember what you went through, the things you've went through in life. Even not as a kid, as an adult. You may have went through it last week.
Right.
And guess what? Somebody you meet in your life today, God put in your life.
Yes.
You're going to be in the same situation. And you can think back and go, guess what? I did this last week or last year, 2 years ago, or when I was a kid. And this is what brought me through it.
Praise God.
You know, and that's what I told the young man I'm mentoring.
Good.
He asked me today about it. And he asked me how we can change these situations. And I gave him a one-word answer. P-R-A-Y-E-R.
That's exactly prayer. It. It's prayer. It's all about prayer. So, it's taking those burdens to God and saying, here it is.
Yes.
Here's this ache in my heart. Here's this pain of my past. God, I wake up and I remember that terrible thing that happened to me, you know, or the abuse or the rape or whatever it could have been. I mean, there are so many myriads of awful things that have happened to people all across this globe.
Yes.
And so God can, dear audience, listen to this very clearly today. God can turn that situation around for your good, Romans 8:28, and it can change your life and the lives of others. Nan, you want to comment on that before we go to the song?
I think we just need to rely upon these scriptures that you're sharing. I just encourage the people. I still feel, I'm feeling it about the people today in a different way than normal. But I really, if I just encourage them to listen to the, read the verses, listen to what you guys are having to say, listen to the words of wisdom coming from Maya and from James and from you. And that they
and
would
from
just,
you.
And from me. I don't like to say myself. But, you know, and write down the scripture, listen to the program.
Yes.
If they're driving down the road, they can't do that, obviously. Either pull over inside the road and listen to the show and write down the scriptures or listen to it later in the various ways it's available later.
Right.
They need to hear the verses. And that's why I encourage them. They need to hear the verses. They need to apply those verses. Not just hear them. We can hear all kind of stuff. We need to apply those things to
Absolutely.
Our lives. And that way we become stronger in God. We become move forward in God because we're taking his word and we're planting it in our hearts just like the word tells us to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was carrying my first child, Ryan, and we didn't know back then if it was a boy or girl. We didn't know. So I couldn't kind of relate to that because I didn't have any idea. But after he was born and then he began a few months later to say first few words, mama, dada, you know, that was like, wow. It was like dawning on me, you know, I'm totally responsible for this child, you know. And by the way, he's turned out very good. So anyway, but
we've met him, we know.
Right. You know, he's a sweetheart. But you know, you get that point. You realize I am a mom. I'm a mom. Okay. Now, people, I want that realization today to hit you of who God is for you. He's good. He's good. You are good, God. Listen to this song because we are going to hammer this point home, guys. We're going to hammer it today. Get this.
We worship you.
That song goes on for another 3 minutes, and we're going to cut it right there, but we're going to do that song, A Beacon, very soon. Are you guys okay with that? You are good. That's a great song. Let me get all your mics back on. Nan, talk to us.
He gave me another poem.
Okay.
Worship me for who I am. You will not remain the same.
Amen.
Worship me. Praise me with all within you. Child, I will lead you in what you're to do. At this moment, however, praise me. Of your binds, you will be set free. Worship me with all that's within you. Always my love, and always my love to shine through. I am glad all of... I am good for you all of the time. I love you, and I am so kind. You know, and I tell you what, that song just ignited me trying to praise God in here, and then he's giving me a poem. It's like, I'm going to have to re-listen to this show just to get into the praise and worship.
Right?
I hadn't heard that song in years.
I hadn't either, I found it in a stack of stuff, and I thought, ooh, that's perfect for today. Mm-hmm. You are good. You are good.
All the time.
So, guys, we got to get this down on the inside of us. Okay, we got to walk in it. We got to live in it, James. It can't be just something we occasionally say, oh, God, you're good. Yeah, okay, yeah, you're good, God. No, it's got to be something that changes our mindset, James.
What comes to mind in that one is something I've told you I've been working on for the past few months, and I actually, not to ring my own bell, but I think I'm doing pretty good with it, is walking in the Spirit.
Right.
That you taught on that 2 months ago,
yeah.
And I've tried daily to remind myself, not daily, hourly, you know, even at work when I get frustrated, and I find peace in those moments.
Yes.
You know, even when me and my boss are not having a day that we're seeing eye to eye, the radio comes on, and I ignore what's trying to irritate me. And I get back in that spirit.
Exactly. And that's what it's a conscious effort to do that, right?
And I tell you what, 100% of the time, it works.
It works. No, it always works. It's just 100%. A matter of us putting one foot in front of the other and making the mind change.
And the devil might come right back in with a statement or something that happens again or, you know, a tool that breaks that could... And I just go, thank you, God, I get a break to walk out to the truck again, you know?
Right, sure, so, sure.
You know, and that's how
it's how you see it.
Yes, perception.
It's how you perceive.
Perception.
Yeah.
That's what gets me in that one. I've learned to, that
how
walking in spirit.
How you perceive God in your day. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say this is a Graham Cook quote. Somebody, you need to write it down. I love this. How you perceive God during your day is how you will receive him.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, I'm going to say it again. How you perceive him during your day. Like, is God good? Is he listening to you? Does he care about what you're going through? Or is he dumping anxiety, worry, and fear on you? No, he's not, because that's the work of the devil. How you perceive God during your day is how you will receive him. Explain that, James.
You can either go, oh, God, another test.
Right.
Or you can go, oh,
yay!
God, another
Woo!
Test.
That's right.
And that's perception.
Yes.
You can either see it as a battle or you can see it as a test.
Amen.
I prefer to see it as a test.
Yes, I agree.
And that's how I'm walking. That's how I'm learning to walk. It's not easy. I've been working on this for about 2 months now since you preached that sermon. I want to say about two and a half months ago.
Been a while, yeah.
And I have to say, I'm getting better at it. And I have my bad days.
Right.
You know, I there's not every day that I, 100% true, I am walking in spirit 100% of the time.
Oh, amen.
I have my bad days.
We all do.
Still, it's God and it makes me get right back at it again. It's a word. It's Nan sending me an email last week to answer two of my questions I've been carrying
all
for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And she had no idea I even had them questions. But
that was God.
That email she sent me at the beginning of last week, I told you, I had an amazing week. And I had a hard week. I had a very hard, rough body week on my body.
Right.
But the homes I got to go into last week, every one of them were Christians.
Wow, praise God.
Every single one of them lifted me up, and we talked. And, you know, and the best part about that, and I mean the best part,
my boss Ryan was there for almost every conversation.
That's great.
And you know, I've been praying.
We're praying for Ryan.
I want him church.
Amen. We're praying for that.
I hope you hear me out there, Ryan.
Yeah, Nan, talk to us.
Yeah, I would like to just say something and piggyback on what James did say. I did send him an email, and it was straight from God.
Thank you.
It was straight from God. It was late at night, and I said, "You gotta be kidding me, God." And it was straight from God to you. Nan had nothing to do with that, just the conduit.
Yes.
And I just want to let you know, those words to you of things I'm like, is this going to make sense? And it's like, God, you're inspiring it, so it is going to make sense.
Yes.
And so I just want to put that was God, not Nan.
Woo!
Yes,
all right.
But you were the conduit, and you listened. Yeah.
And that's what we have to be. We have to be that for each other, walking in the Spirit.
You get to hear it.
When you were talking about that, it reminded me of an old song. It was my dad's favorite song that he used to have Nathan play at my house when Nathan and Sean would come for dinner when I had Mom and Dad living with me many, many years ago. When we first started the radio show, they would come home for dinner a lot. And it was Through It All, that old Andre Crouch song. I've learned to trust in Jesus. Mm-hmm. I've learned to trust in God. That one. Through It All, I have learned to depend upon His Word. It's a learning process, Maya. We don't just wake up one morning and suddenly we are trusting God for everything. It is a process. You want to talk about that?
It's a process that's taking me a really long time.
Wait a minute. Your mic fell off. Go ahead. Talk again. Say
it's
again.
It's a process that's taking me a very long time to learn.
Well, that's your normal. You're typical of a lot of people.
Yeah. Like my husband, he, you know, has to walk in the Spirit, and he's learning that. Me, I work a great, very chaotic job. So I've noticed that in the morning I put on my armor. Every morning I have to read Ephesians 6.
It's all right.
And if I don't, I have a horrible day. But then recently I'm noticing that it'll get me through the first half of the day. And on my lunch break, I have to reread it again.
All right.
And fill my energy. And
soon
just get
it will
in
become
it.
Just automatic, right?
Yeah.
But I, like that song, Through It All, mm-hmm. I have learned to depend upon His Word. What, Nan, you said a minute ago, what we're talking about is the Word, right? Let's go back to 1 Peter 5, verse 9. Withstand him, who? The devil. Be firm in faith against his onset. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted and established, strong, immovable, determined. I love that in the Amplified Bible. I'm going to say that again. 1 Peter 5:9, if you're just joining us. Withstand the devil. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christ, all these Christians throughout the world. Very common. We all go through these things, James. We go through these things, but we got to be on guard and be rooted and established and strong and immovable and determined.
Yeah, or you'll end up, if you're not rooted like that, you'll run into something that you can't handle.
That's exactly right.
I've learned that in the past year since being back at Beacon. My wife has helped me with that big time. I've learned that it's a walk. Mm-hmm. It's not a race. And
that's right.
That was part of my, it still is part of my growing in God. It's not a marathon. It's not to see who can get there first.
It's not.
It's a slow down and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing the words you hear when you just slow down and listen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I just heard this in my spirit. I remember teaching a series on this probably 12 years ago. And in some translations it says, "For I am determined that," okay? And let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:1. Again, this isn't planned, listeners. We don't have a script. We don't know where we're going. We just have a general topic of what we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And I love this, again, in the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 2:1. "But I definitely made up my mind," this is what Paul said, "not to grieve you with another painful and distressing visit." And then he goes on to say, the whole idea here is he made up his mind about something. And I believe one of the big problems in the body of Christ and in just people in general is we're too wishy-washy. I mean, one minute we can be determined like Paul was right here, And another time we can be back on the other side of the issue, whatever it might be. Talk to us, Maya.
It's like I'm always going through craziness. My brain is just crazy. So James has told me over and over again that when you give it to God,
right,
you're not supposed to think about it again.
Right.
But that's the whole point of just laying it at his feet and not picking it up again, which is something I just, I've known my whole life, but I just kind of learned. It's like, oof, oof. So anything that I'm thinking about and worrying about, I have to literally just, okay, God, here, take it. And then think about something else. Because if not, I will dwell.
And you have to decide what you're going to dwell on. We're going to Psalm 34 next. I actually never got to really comment on this today, but we did sing it. Psalm 34, because it's like Paul said, I am determined. You have to get to a point in your life where you make up your mind about how you're going to be, right? Mm-hmm. Years and years ago, I determined that I was going to try to be the very best mother I could be, and now grandmother. That is important to me. So it's important to me to communicate, right, with my kids, my grandkids. Nan, let's look at Psalm 34. I want you to comment on this first verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why is that important?
That is important because we need to dwell upon the Lord. We need to praise the Lord. It says, I will praise the Lord all times. I will continually speak his praises. You know, and it's difficult at times to do that. And we all experience that. It is tough when you're facing certain situations or circumstances to praise God.
Right.
But that's what we need to do. And probably for me, the most time that has ever happened to me was when I was facing false allegations in the law.
Right.
And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. I didn't do that. And it came out in the wash that I didn't do that. But in the midst of that journey, I said, you know something? I'm going to give God glory, and Satan is going to take a back seat in this.
Right.
Everyone, when I had to go down and meet with the counselor, I told him what Jesus was doing in my life. And they just looked at me like I had totally lost my mind.
Right.
You know, but that's the point of the most time that in my mind that I praised God, and I saw miraculous things happen for me with that praise. And that is available to everybody. They need to listen to the scripture, adhere to the scripture, follow the scripture, and praise the Lord at all times. It is difficult. He will help you. You know, maybe you need to surround yourself with two or three good friends,
right,
who will pray for you.
That's right.
Who
encourage
will pray
you.
Pray for you, pray with you.
Keep you on track.
Absolutely. Hold some accountability,
woo,
maybe, in that situation. But, you know, they need to praise God, and we need to speak of his praises. You know, with my boss, I have shared at times different things as the Lord would open up the opportunity of what God has done in my life. And she just looks and listens. But she's really listening, because we've had discussions later after that. You know, they're going to encourage the people to praise the Lord all times and speak his praises.
All right.
Often.
This next song comes straight from God's word. You got to apply it to your life. who he is. Mighty God, that's our mighty God. Oh, my very presence. Oh, it was so wonderful to look from where I am in the control room and see my wonderful radio partners in the studio worshiping during that song. I turned your mics off so you guys could just sing to your heart's content. Nan, God gave you a poem during that.
Actually, he did not give me a poem.
Okay.
But he did give me something I felt I was supposed to say. You know, in Philippians 4:13, it tells us that all things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there's people listening right now or in the future who need to hear that. This for some reason, this radio show, I've never been so connected with the listeners as I have this particular show. I don't know
it's
why.
It's the anointing of God. It's His presence.
I feel so connected with them. And I want to tell them they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them.
Nan, it's when you live in it. When you're living... Like all of us, James, Maya, Nan, and our whole radio team and a lot of the people in our church, most of them, if not all of them, are understanding in deeper measure lately the value of living in the praises of God. Don't you think, Maya? I mean, if something's happening in our people. It's happening. I know it is. You want to comment on that? Okay. James does. It's okay to say no.
Yeah, there's just how to say this. You see the light.
You see.
Yeah. There's how I'm gonna put it.
Yeah.
You see the light. I mean, me and Maya, before we ever met Nan, we heard her on this radio station.
Yeah.
And we heard her light before we ever saw it.
Right.
And in our church.
Right.
A lot of that's going on.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, this sister struggles. She struggles
got
daily.
All kinds of stuff going on. Yeah.
All kinds. And you walk into our church.
Yeah.
This lady right here is the first one to greet you.
Yeah.
And when she greets you,
unless
it's with
late.
Everything.
Unless she's late.
But when she greets you, she greets you with every ounce of love
and
in her heart.
She's glad to see you.
Yes. She just met you.
Right.
And you're a friend instantly.
That's right.
You're a family instantly.
Amen.
She loves you instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, James. Kind words.
Yeah.
Words.
And if she's late, then she's in trouble with her pastor.
I'll get spoken to tomorrow morning about that.
No, you won't.
I know I won't.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's a decision, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 34, verse 1. My life makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble and afflicted hear and be glad. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's what happens when you come to church, people.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening when you come to church is, I am in verse 3 of Psalm 34.
Thank you.
What happens when you come to church and worship with a body of believers that love to worship and praise, you're going to find that as we exalt God's name together, it's contagious. Today, we were singing, and I'm on the front row with my back to everybody, so I don't see who's coming or going. But I heard Michelle when she came in to the congregation. She was running a few minutes late, and all of a sudden, I heard her, and I could tell her hands were raised.
Oh, yeah.
And she was worshiping God. Michelle's been with Beacon since 03 or so, clear back where James was from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell Michelle was in church.
You definitely know when that woman walks in.
You know when that woman walks in.
That's a light. That
and
is
so,
a light.
I mean, immediately, I didn't have to turn around and look to see if she was there because I heard her.
But she walked
worshiping
in
God.
And instantly.
Starts in.
There wasn't a delay, five minutes doing this. No. Michelle walked in, put her stuff down.
And she just put her hands in.
Joined the music singing.
Yes,
and
put her hands in the air.
And let me tell you, she's... been I yet to still hear her sing by herself.
She will.
And I'm waiting to hear it. I missed it today because I had to take care of some things. But when you see that, it inspires you.
Oh, it does.
It lifts you.
And so that's what we're all supposed to be doing.
Yes.
It's supposed to be second nature to us. It's second nature for me to turn on a baseball game or a football game, that's second nature to me. Really, seriously, it is. If I have an evening at home, which is not rare, I mean, it's rare, but if I have some time, downtime, I want to look for a game because mm-hmm. I can relax, and that's part of me. Sports,
and
right?
I'm fishing.
And you're fishing.
We all have our little...
And we have our thing. Or I love to turn on golf, which people say is boring, but I've played golf for years, and it's not boring to watch to me, okay? But whatever it is, but when you get into this groove that we're talking about of learning to praise God, Maya, mm-hmm. you want to do it.
Oh, yeah. Some of my most sweetest moments at our church is during the worship time.
Yes.
If I'm up there singing and holding a microphone... Or in the congregation, I can end up stopping just to listen to all.
Is it beautiful?
It's absolutely
harmonies and everything.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Even the ones who are off key to me are absolutely gorgeous. It makes me. I really want to go sit next to them
because they're trying. They're raising a joyful
heart.
Noise.
It's just right? It's from their heart, and at that moment, they don't care.
Right. They're
and
just praising.
It's gorgeous. It's the most. So if it's that beautiful to me, I can only imagine
because
what God hears.
We are doing this because God is good,
mm-hmm.
and His mercy endures forever. His loving kindness. We got to get up here to the commercial here in just a second. But this whole show is about the goodness of God, why we praise God, and the difference with the devil. The devil was actually a minister of music in heaven, they say, or it says in the book of Ezekiel and in Isaiah. We get a glimpse of what the devil was up to. He hates when you praise God because he used to. We're going to talk more about that right after this break. We have to do a station ID at the top of the hour. That's all right, because we are proud to be on TanTalkNetwork.com. Check us out. All the shows you might miss.